are our specialty drugs? Has price pressure in the US bottomed out? Are Indian companies innovating fast enough? What are biosimilars? Are we really over US FDA issues? Will pharma stocks ever show supernormal returns? These are some of the questions the Meds in Box podcast on CNBCTV18.com aims to answer. Hi, I'm Ekta Batra. Do tune in while I chat with the top voices in the pharma and healthcare space to get answers to the most challenging questions, spot the key trends, and identify the next leg of growth in the pharma and healthcare space. Only on CNBC TV 18. Welcome to the Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com with me, your host, Ekta Batra. This podcast aims to give you an insight on all things pharma and health, from discussing trends in the industry to key issues in health with all of the relevant experts. Our guest on today's podcast is Aditya Khemka, Fund Manager of DSP Investment Managers. Aditya has been with DSP Investment Managers since 2015. He has extensive experience and knowledge in the pharma space, having worked with Glenmark and covered pharma and health at Lehman Brothers, as well as Nomura. He runs the Pharma Fund at DSP Investment Managers. Aditya, hi, welcome to the podcast. Well, you've started working in 2005 in the pharmaceutical space with Glenmark. Tell us how you think the pharma industry has changed in the past decade of the vast experience that you've had in the space.
Yeah, hi. So the industry has changed in many ways, Ekta, from that point in time. I think if I remember correctly, 2005-06, the focus of the industry was largely to, you know, try to sell as many generic products as possible, to penetrate into the export markets, to try to monetize their experience on that side of the world. Today, you know, well, we have all the larger companies have already monetized their investments. They are looking for venues to grow now, and they're also trying to differentiate their product offerings in terms of specialty products, complex generics, etc. So there has been a huge evolution curve over the last 10 years.
But Aditya, you know, over the years, Indian companies have evolved. That point is taken. But what kind of evolution do you think Indian companies should see from here on?
So from here on, most Indian companies will continue to, you know, make investments to differentiate their product offerings, is the way I see it. See, what is happening is the plain vanilla generics is getting commoditized. And even in complex generics, the competition is incrementally getting higher and higher. What that would eventually do is that would eventually create a high sort of a return of investment barrier, because many companies doing the same complex product, making high investments, yet not getting a good pricing or a good market share in the end market, will create an issue in terms of return on equity. And that eventually will lead to most of these companies turning around to specialty, to innovation, to differentiate themselves, to have patented revenues, moated revenues over a very, very long period of time. And that is the only way I see this industry, you know, sort of moving forward, especially for the larger companies, because they're sitting on a high revenue base. So for them to grow at that revenue base with that amount of generic revenues in the base, I think innovation is just the only way forward. And if you see some of the larger companies, they've actually started investing heavily into the innovation space. Some of them are partnering this such initiatives. Some of them are doing it on their own. But nonetheless, I think both venues are decent when you look at potential growth 5 years, 10 years out. And both are very different risk-reward models. So that is where, you know, as an analyst, as a fund manager, you have the opportunity to pick and choose your favorites. Which model you feel will, you know, survive? Which model do you think will give better return on investment? And I think, most of the companies will continue to evolve in that fashion on the larger cap side. On the smaller and mid-cap side, what we have seen thus far, these companies have established themselves in the domestic business. They have done a decent amount of domestic business, which gives them a decent amount of cash flow. They are reinvesting this cash flow into the export generic markets. So they are investing in the US geography, they're investing in Europe, they're investing in some of the emerging markets like Brazil, Russia. So whatever the last decade was for the larger pharma companies today will be the next decade for the smaller and mid-cap companies today. So, you know, these companies which are investing today in exports are not making profits in their export initiatives. Over the next 3, 5, 10 years, company to company, as they, you know, start to monetize these investments, we see, you know, cash flow coming through from such investments. We see profit growth coming through from such investments. And the problem the larger pharma companies are having today in terms of differentiating themselves, in terms of looking for sustainable growth for the next decade or two, that problem will appear for the mid and small companies, mid and small pharma companies of today, 1 or 2 decades down the road. So, you know, it's just a very, very similar growth path that both of these categories are experiencing, but just different points in time.
Okay. But Aditya, you know, 10 years down the line, things will be very different in terms of the industry for even these small and mid-cap pharmaceutical companies when they reach the scale that you're talking about where large-cap companies are currently in. So 10 years down the line, say, for example, where will a Teva be? Where will a Sun Pharma be? And where will, say, a Divi's Lab be? I know you can't talk stocks, but give us a sense in terms of where exactly the industry stalwarts will be.
Right. So, you know, Teva, the way I see it, if you look at what their commentary has been, they are, you know, rationalizing their plain vanilla business, they're rationalizing their ordinary, you know, tablets and capsule business, and they are increasing investments into complex generics, increasing investments into innovation, biosimilars. So clearly, you know, 10 years down the road, Teva will have probably a lower contribution from a generic business and a higher contribution from a biologic, biosimilar, and innovator business, right? I think pretty much similar would be a story of Sun Pharma. Well, probably they'll end up doing a similar strategic intent. I'm not, again, trying to predict or forecast anything here, but I'm just trying to say strategically from what we hear from them today, that is how we feel they will grow forward, you know, in the next decade or so. So these companies will become much more biosimilar slash biologic slash innovator companies and much less of a generic component. Whereas the small and mid caps of today will still have a very, very high component of generics and very little component of a biosimilar or innovator products, if at all, in the next decade or so.
Okay. You know, when we talk about R&D, Aditya, the problem is that a lot of companies are investing, say, up to even 10% of their sales into R&D. But this is at the behest of what's happening to the margins and the profitability as well. And many of them are reducing R&D expenditure and making it much more constrained because of the kind of price pressure that they're facing in their generic vanilla business. The vanilla business is not generating as much cash flow as, say, what it was some time ago. And hence, that's probably constraining your R&D expenditure. So in that sense, do you think that the Indian companies will be able to move as steadily as, say, some of their global peers?
Yeah, so two things in this. First, you mentioned the number of 10% of sales. What I would like to caution you here is that 10% of sales is when you look at consolidated sales, right? And most of this R&D investment, as you may understand, is actually dedicated towards regulated markets. So if you actually look at R&D as a percentage of regulated market sales, is actually substantially higher for many of these companies. Is even actually 20 to 30 to 40% in some cases. So they are making very, very high investments. You're absolutely right. And from that perspective, you know, if they were to grow this business and they have already made very, very substantial investments and they continue to do so. But while they're saying that they are reducing R&D spend, they're trying to become leaner now. What they're basically saying is that there are, let's say there were 100 projects they were earlier working on, 10 or 20 of those 100 projects, now they don't feel there's a good enough return on investment left to be made. And therefore, they are rationalizing those projects. So what they're still doing is they're still continuing to work on that those 80, 90 out of 100 products where they feel that the return on investment is still healthy and worth spending money on. So I would say that what has you know, come into the picture or come into the light right now for these companies is that they have stopped making investments in projects where there is not enough commercial benefit left to them. But they will still invest very, very aggressively on fronts where they feel there is enough to be made. And that is what we are seeing right now. So I don't feel that the growth trajectory will be as high as it has been in the past decade. That was a period of very extraordinary growth. But I feel that the quality of earnings will certainly be superior going forward in the next decade, because earlier the earnings largely came from generic products, which eventually saw competition, and we saw the earnings fall off a cliff from what they were in FY14-15. And now I think going forward, you will see much steadier, much more secular, and much more moated sort of profit streams coming through given the investments that have been made in R&D, especially in innovation, biosimilars and complex generics.
Okay, so the point that I'm getting from this conversation is that it's innovation, innovation, innovation. You need to back the company which is probably spearing ahead when it comes to R&D, Aditya. But how do you choose that company? Because there are many companies which have, you know, new chemical entities and many other molecules under development for years together. And they never see the light of day. They see the investments coming through, but they never see the light of day. So how do you choose which company to back? Because even some of the complex generics or maybe some of the biosimilars also see competition at a much rapid pace as compared to what was probably earlier anticipated. So how do you choose the company to back?
Right. So on the biosimilar and complex generics, I feel that this is not going to be different, Ekta. So all these companies that are investing in those two initiatives will face incremental competition, will face high competition. That's just going to be the rule of the game. And they will have to learn to survive in that environment and learn to make a decent ROI on that environment. I think that's just how the game is going to be. That's not going to be different. On innovation or invention, you know, it's a dart in the dark, right? So it's a trial and error game. So you're trying to create something new. You have to learn 100 ways of not doing the right thing before you learn the one way of doing the right thing. So as you correctly said, there are many companies who have been doing NCEs, novel research, for years and years and have seen nothing coming out of the pipeline in terms of a commercial success. But you know, that is the time you actually take a more deeper look into their abilities, because remember, with every year of failure, your chances of success actually goes up, because you learn one more way of not doing it right when you fail, right? So you only fail when you stop trying. Till the point you keep trying and you keep learning of not doing the right, how to not do it, right? Eventually you will hit the right nail. And remember that on the innovation side, the risk reward is such that one success will make up for 100 failures. And the probability of that one success for that reason is only 2-3%. So you need to keep, you know, sort of at it till you get that one success. And once you get that one success, what we have seen historically with many innovator companies in the Western world is that first success takes the longest time to come. After you have hit that first success, every other subsequent success comes at a faster pace versus the first success. So innovation is a culture. It takes time to build in that culture, but once it is built, it just gives you very, very good, you know, fruits and rewards.
Okay, well, innovation is a culture. And when you talk about culture, you can't forget US FDA issues, Aditya. Do you think we're over the hump when it comes to, say, the worst of the regulatory issues that Indian pharma has seen?
I would agree to that statement, yes. See, what happened was, and if you closely observe, all the larger companies in India, a majority of the larger companies in India have actually seen US FDA regulatory issues, whereas there is only a handful of small and mid-cap companies that have seen regulatory issues. Now, if you ask yourself this question as to why this is the case, this is my interpretation of what happened. So these larger companies in India are today larger because they were the first ones to go to the US market and start exporting to the US, right? Now, when they did that, I think the FDA rule book was either not very clear to them or the rule book kept evolving. So these companies sort of kept adapting to what they felt the FDA wanted them to adopt as procedures or SOPs. And somewhere, you know, there was a mismatch in FDA's expectation and what these companies were actually practicing as SOPs. And that is when, you know, FDA sort of flagged off these issues to them in terms of deficiencies that these companies were having in their manufacturing processes and SOPs. So what we have seen is that the large caps also are now finally learning the trick of the trade. They are coming out of FDA problems. And the small and mid caps who are just entered US or are now entering US as we speak are also learning from the industry's experience, which is why my guess is you are seeing these issues more intensely being developed in the larger companies than in the smaller companies, because the smaller companies are sort of followers. So they have seen the mistakes the first movers made and they are not repeating those mistakes. So very clearly, I feel that, you know, we are over the hump, as you said, on the regulatory side. Most of the companies have learned how to, you know, adapt to the US FDA rules and will continue to do so. See, the cost of getting one of those issues is so high in terms of a business loss that the cost of compliance is significantly lower than that, right? So it is always in the interest of the company to adhere to those rules. And I think all of them are learning that, some of them are learning at the hard way, some of them are getting the benefit of learning that from their larger peers and seeing their experience. So I feel the worst is behind for sure. And you know, some of these companies should come out of FDA problems in the near to medium term.
Okay. All right. Aditya, we're going to wrap up this conversation soon. But before we let you go, we've spoken about pharmaceuticals. We've spoken about R&D within pharma, as well as the regulatory issues and your thoughts on that. But you're bullish on healthcare delivery as well. That means hospitals, diagnostics in India?
That's right. It does. So the thought process there, Ekta, really is that, if you see the diagnostic business, the hospital business, they're all growing between, 10 and 20% volume growth, right? And that is a very, very attractive growth if you think about our top line growth in that terms. And these businesses are just continuing to, grow given the low penetration of healthcare in India, and that's not going anywhere. And with the rising levels of GDP per capita, what we have seen by experience in other countries, as GDP per capita goes up, people incrementally spend more and more on healthcare. So that is, one secular thesis that is definitely, going to play out in the next 4, 5, 10 years in India for the healthcare space. The additional kicker or the additional growth accelerator that is possible in this space is the Ayushman Bharat scheme that has been introduced by the current government. So Ayushman Bharat will probably give 10 crore families, insurance over a period of time. And these 10 crore families who currently may not be able to access healthcare or afford healthcare will suddenly be able to access and afford healthcare. Now, what will that do is that will give a lot of volume growth to some of these existing private hospitals and private diagnostic companies, and their utilizations, asset utilizations will just go up. So even though the patient from Ayushman Bharat may be paying lesser than what a retail patient today is currently paying, that incremental revenue will still be beneficial because it will come at the existing infrastructure, and therefore there is no incremental cost of serving that patient. And therefore that revenue will still be EBITDA margin positive or a profitability-wise positive. So that's why I feel that the healthcare space in India will probably have a very good run in the next 5 to 10 years. As the normal business continues to grow double digit, and Ayushman Bharat gives that optionality that can accelerate growth further.
And are you more bullish on healthcare delivery versus pharma? Are you changing your priorities now, say, for growth in the next 5 to 10 years?
No, so both of the buckets have their own risk reward and their own characteristics, right? Healthcare is very inward looking, pharma is more outward looking. So we are bullish on both. Pharma has pockets of value, healthcare has pockets of value. So Ekta, I will not be able to make that call for now. But what I can tell you, my perspective is that I think healthcare will be more consistent and less volatile. So healthcare will be lower risk, lower reward, versus a pharma, which is going to be a higher risk, higher reward game from this point onwards, in my view.
Okay. All right, Aditya Khemka. Thank you very much for joining in on the Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com. Thanks very much for joining in.